Welcome to Christian Medical and Dental Association's chapel. We trust this message will encourage your walk with the Lord.
Well, it's so nice to be with you all. I was planning to do this chapel by Zoom, but then providentially had an opportunity to come down to headquarters this week, and so I get to be with you in person. And so I'm very glad to be here. As I thought about what I wanted to share with you all, I thought I would show you a little bit of what I've been working on with some of our medical students in the region. And so I've got a few slides that I'll show you here in a little bit that I went through with some of our medical students in Detroit back in November, talking about opportunities and challenges for following Christ in healthcare. But before I do that, I'd like to synthesize some of that material in a broader way, not just for healthcare, because I understand most of us in the room are not trained in healthcare. Most of us are not healthcare professionals in this room, although several of you are. And so I'm going to want to talk a little bit this morning about the greatest challenge and opportunity that we have as followers in Christ, and that is to love God with our whole heart. And so that's what I'd like to talk to you about this morning. But for those of you who don't know me, I'll just, by way of introduction, my name is Connor Hamm. I'm the Midwest Regional Director for CMDA. I'm based out of Cincinnati, Ohio. And so my role with CMDA is that I help to come alongside, encourage, equip, and resource our campus and community ministries in 13 states from Kentucky to North Dakota. And so that's what I get to do every day, and I love it very much. But I've noticed, even now in my fifth year of vocational ministry, that it's an ongoing challenge for me to love God with my whole heart. And so that's what I'd like to reflect on a little bit with you this morning. I say it's the greatest challenge and the greatest opportunity in the life of a believer to love God with our whole heart, because, of course, that's the great prize that we have as believers, is that we get to be in relationship with God. We've been reconciled to God in spite of our sin through the salvific work of Christ on the cross, who died for our sins, rose from the dead, and ascended on high, and is reigning now at the right hand of the Father. What a glorious thing, and we get to know him personally. What an amazing opportunity. That is the greatest good that we could ever receive or participate in. And it's also a great challenge because we continue to have sinful hearts and we continue to turn from God each and every day and go our own way. And so this morning, I'd like to think about some of the challenges that we encounter as we seek to love God with our whole heart. What are the things that are competing with God for our affections and for our devotion? And as I said, this is a bit of an adaptation of what I was sharing with our medical students, because healthcare professionals experience what I'm about to say just at a particularly acute level. When I was presenting this in Detroit, I was aware that I was talking to students who had an exam on Monday. They just felt that they had no time to spare, and yet they took some time to gather together for a dinner fellowship and to hear me, and so I was very grateful for that. There were physicians in the room who were working 70 or 80 hour weeks, and I'm thinking, you know, they know what I'm about to say better than I do. One of the challenges, perhaps the greatest challenge for a healthcare professional as they seek to love God with their whole heart, is time. It is arranging their priorities in life to reflect the fact that they are in a relationship with the God of the universe. The second challenge that I identified is distraction. I don't know if you're like me, but I have to sometimes practice the discipline of sleeping with my phone across the room, because otherwise I'll deprive myself of rest in the evening by just, you know, scrolling on Facebook and, you know, angering myself with what I'm seeing people say, and, you know, or just total nonsense videos, and, you know, and so, you know, distractions compete for our affections. Dissatisfaction, discontentment, ingratitude, you know, life throws wrenches our way, and when that happens, sometimes I get discouraged and I grumble, or I think that the Lord is, you know, giving me short of my due. Of course, I would never say that to God, because you know, I know a little bit of theology. I know that's an awful thing to think. Of course, I've been given much better than I deserve. That's Dave Ramsey's famous line, right? Dave, how are you doing? Better than I deserve, right? What I deserve is judgment for my sin. What I've been given is eternal life in Christ. And yet, you know, you get a flat tire and you get frustrated, right? And so dissatisfactions and discontentment compete with our affections. The worldly cares, wealth, things. This was rather timely. Dr. Chupp sent me a book for my birthday last week, which I've been enjoying reading, A.W. Tozer's book, The Pursuit of God. And there was a line here that I thought really tied in well with what I wanted to share this morning. This is what he says about the human heart. Our woes began when God was forced out of his central shrine. That's what he calls the human heart, our central shrine where we worship in our heart. Our woes began when God was forced out of his central shrine and things were allowed to enter. That really struck me and convicted me. I have a lot of things that I'm very attached to. Even the occasion that brought me here this weekend was returning a fleet vehicle, and so I just got a car last week, a personal vehicle, and just the thought process of looking at cars and thinking about budgets, you know, you can really go down a rabbit trail of very worldly concerns when you think about making a big purchase. And so the things in our lives can compete with God for our affections. And then perhaps the easiest of all things is just our view of God itself. I think it's probably true of most of us, if not all of us, we have far too small a view of God. We don't really reflect adequately about how grand our King is and how worthy he is of all of our affection and praise. And so our small view of God prevents us from keeping him in his central shrine in our hearts. And so these are just, I'm sure there are more that you could come up with as well, but these were just five challenges that I identified for serving God with our whole heart. Again, they were time, distractions, dissatisfactions, cares of the world, and a small view of God. But the opportunities for loving God with our whole heart is the opposite of all of those things. I'll take them in reverse order. If we have a small view of God, but then we cultivate in ourselves a love for him, if we cultivate a heart that is fully committed to God, then our view of God will expand and he will be magnified in our hearts. And we will find that just as his glory filled the temple in Isaiah's vision, our hearts will have no corner left darkened when Christ reigns supreme in it. Our worldly cares will shrink compared to the glory that we behold in our relationship with God, and as we reflect upon the eternal inheritance that we have with him in heaven, you know, what does a flat tire have to do with, you know, my eternal soul? Nothing. I can take difficulties in stride, and even much greater difficulties than this, because I have been given a great and glorious inheritance. Dissatisfactions with how things are going. Distractions. If I'm constantly distracted, but then I have my heart fully committed to God, those distractions are going to seem more and more fleeting, and I'll be able to reflect all the more about God and what he wants me to be doing. But the one that I want to talk about the most, in which I've spent a lot of time talking to medical students about, is that time piece. Because there's no way around it. We all have things that we have to do. We can't all just be on a kneeler or in a church 80 hours a week. It's just not practical. And sometimes I think we erroneously think about our priorities in terms of our time commitments. Whatever I give most of my time to, that must be my number one priority in life. And I'm sure if we thought about that for even a few seconds, we'd realize how absurd that is. I mean, any career person is obviously spending more time at work than they are at home with their spouse, for example, but they would never say that, hopefully, that they value their vocation over their spouse. And similarly, surely the time that we spend in prayer and in God's word and in church are hopefully a good amount of time in your day, but it'll never compete with your vocation or perhaps even with the time you're spending with family. And so time is not a good metric for our priorities. What I would propose and what I like to help medical students think through is that priorities are not measured by how much time you devote to that thing, but rather the trickle-down effect that they have on everything else in your life. So if your number one concern in life is success in your career, well, that's going to shade your marriage, that's going to shade the time that you leave aside for your relationship with the Lord, it's going to affect your generosity. But on the contrary, if your number one priority in life is to love God with your whole heart, that's going to make you a different kind of physician. Doesn't mean you're going to work less hours necessarily, but you're going to be a qualitatively different kind of doctor if the Lord reigns supreme in your heart. You're going to be a fundamentally different kind of accountant or lawyer or teacher or stay-at-home parent or whatever it is that the Lord has given you in this world to do. You're going to do it much differently, marked by grace and marked by power of the Holy Spirit if God reigns supreme in your heart. And so by having God as our first priority, we're not necessarily spending all of our time constantly thinking about God, but all of the things that we are doing throughout the day are colored by our relationship with God. And so with that preface, I'll just show you a few slides that I've gone through with some of our medical students because, again, this is the sort of thing that I do out in the region is I'm trying to meet with medical students and residents and even some professionals and help them think through how they can be serving God in their profession and growing in their faith in spite of all of the worldly concerns and competition for their time and affections. This is the question that I have posed to our students. And I like to ask the question with the emphasis on three different parts. The question is, why did God bring you to healthcare? That's if I'm not emphasizing anything. Why did God bring you to healthcare? The first way I can ask this question is, why did God bring you to healthcare? Here's a scripture for us to consider. Proverbs 16:9 says, "The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps." Did you know that God has brought you to where you are today? Probably you did, but how often do we forget to really reflect on how profound that is? That the fact that you are in the position you're in right now, relationally, vocationally, and whatever else, is not a mere happenstance. God has a purpose and an intention for placing you in the place where you are currently serving. Why did he do that? Why did God, who is directing your life, bring you to the place where you are? And to ask it differently, why did God bring you to healthcare or insert whatever vocation? You know, why did God bring you here? Ephesians, I forgot to put the actual verse reference, but this is Ephesians chapter 2, says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. But we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And so God has already prepared things for you to do for his kingdom's sake in this world. You, in particular, with the skills, with the interests, with the experiences that you have, God has called you to this moment. And that's so inspiring to me because sometimes I can get sort of humdrum in my day-to-day life, but then I think God has called me, not someone else, but me in particular, to take up the task before me. And that's an inspiring thing. God, who is so great and so glorious and so high above me, has given me a responsibility. Why has he given, do you think, you the responsibility that he's given you at this time? And then lastly, why did God bring you to healthcare of all places or to whatever vocation you're currently serving? And at that point, I go into some unique opportunities and challenges for serving God in healthcare, but of course, I started with all that. So this is an exercise that I like to go through with some of the medical students in my region, just helping them to think through the significance of the life contours that they've had so far, helping them think that, you know, I'm not where I'm at just because I scored really well on the MCAT. I'm not where I'm at just because I was a good student, or because, you know, I wasn't so squeamish about blood, or, you know, whatever the case may be, that people said, oh, I think you should go this way. But that there was actually a whole network of just providential leanings and drawings from the Lord to bring you to where you are. And that when we recognize that, and when we allow God to fully inhabit our hearts, to love him with our whole heart, we can do that task that he's set us on to his glory most effectively. And so that's the challenge I wanted to share with you this morning. It's something I've been preaching to myself for these last several months. And so I hope there was something in there that was an encouragement to you. But I'm just so glad to be with you this morning in person. And so thank you very much.